So yes, I am Pastor Theo. I am the family pastor here. I've been here on staff, I don't know, a couple months now. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Dwight L. Moody was a great evangelist and pastor in the 19th century. In all of his pastoring, writing, and evangelism travels, it is believed that Moody preached to more than 100 million people. And that is before YouTube. Imagine his reach if he ministered in the age of the internet. Moody was a pioneer in the Sunday school movement. He was one of the first commissioned by the YMCA to serve troops in the Union Army during the Civil War. Moody is credited with starting 5 schools, including the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. As we know, it's all right, but it's not North Park, right? That's right. Now, with all these different things that Moody was able to accomplish, towards the end of his ministry life, Moody looked back and reflected on all that he had done, and he said this: "If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children." With all the amazing things that Moody did, for him to say that should leave an impression upon us. But how accurate he is. Stats show that 85% of people, 85% of people who come to Christ do so before the age of 18. Some of the most famous, fruitful Christians in history were saved when they were young. Matthew Henry was 11. Jonathan Edwards was 7. Richard Baxter was 6. Isaac Watts was 9. And Corrie Ten Boom received Jesus at the age of 5. I've invested my career in working with teenagers, the older spectrum, before the age of 18. But I do look forward to working with children, many of whom will decide in this building to follow Jesus with their life. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew 19. It's a famous passage that deals with children's ministry. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And then verse 15, and he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray over our children that are here. Father God, may they come to know you. May a life of following you and passing on faith to the next generation start here. We pray for our parents, Father God, and our grandparents and spiritual influences. Father God, may this just be a place where children come to know you and are discipled in knowing you, and grow up to be world changers. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passage that we read was one of the most famous, I would say, in the Bible that deals with children's ministry. Yet remarkably, that's just one of 1,700 references in the Bible that mention God's love for his children, his concern for uncared or mistreated children, the roles and responsibilities of parents, and the particular ways in which children are an essential partner in God's kingdom plan. Make no mistake about it, God loves children, and he expects the church to as well. With that, I would like everyone who normally goes out at this point in time but is in here because it's Family Sunday, so everyone like kindergarten through sixth grade, come on up here and let's hang out for a minute up here. Come on up. How are you, man? How are you? You good? How are you? You good? How are you? Yeah? Some of you can sit up here if you want to. You'll be on camera, though. So you have to behave. Sometimes it's hard. I know. So I don't know everyone's name yet, and I'm sorry for that, but I do look forward to getting to know you all very, very well. Hi, how are you? You're good? Yeah, you can sit right here on the floor. How's that sound? Oh, you want to sit right there? Yeah, that was very, very nice of you. Thank you very, very much. All right, now, there's three things that I want you to know today. Three. I know it's the weekend, and we don't like doing math on the weekends, do we? I mean, who likes to do math at school? Do you like doing math at school? Oh, wow. I did not like doing math at school. So I'm glad you neither? Yeah. I'm glad you like math, okay? You like math too? Love your shirt. Roar. Sweet. Okay, so three things that I want you to know, and I know that's a lot for a weekend, but three things, okay? So number one, here in our children's ministry at church, I really want you to know Jesus, and I really want you to know the Bible. Not just stories about Jesus and not just other cool stories from the Bible, because you want to know it? There are a lot of really cool stories in the Bible. I was just teaching the confirmation class, and I'm like, there's cool stories in the Bible, and I don't think the Bible's boring. And so I want you guys to know lots of cool stories about Jesus and lots of cool stories from the Bible, but I also want you to know, through our children's ministry here, how to have a relationship with Jesus, okay? And that's crazy, because, like, he's kind of invisible to us, isn't he? But you know, we can have a relationship with Jesus. So I want you to know that, okay? Number one, I want you guys to know how to know Jesus and the Bible. Number two, another big priority for me, for you guys to know, is I want you all to know that you're very special. Each one of you. You're very valuable, that you matter, that everyone deserves a big hug just like that. But you're special. And guess what? This church thinks you're special, and the people here love you. Don't we, church? We love our kids. Yeah. This church thinks you guys are cool. All right? So the first thing is I want you to know Jesus, and I want you to know the Bible. Second thing is I want you to know that you're cool, and that your church thinks you're cool. The third thing, I think church should be fun. What do you guys think? Should church be fun? Yeah? We have like some slow claps going out there. The adults aren't quite sure what to do with this. The adults are like, it sounds all right. I don't know. But you guys think church should be fun? Yeah. And I think that anytime you come into one of our rooms that we have for you, that it should be fun. I think learning about Jesus should be fun. What do you think? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so if it's not fun, you got to let me know, okay? Don't tell the other teachers, because, yeah, but just tell me, okay? So we want it to be fun, because I think you guys actually, because I'm old, but I'm still a kid, people say. I do my best learning when I'm having fun. What about you? Do you learn best when life is fun? And when, yeah. Let's see, you said you like math, right? What's a subject that you don't think is fun? You don't think recess is fun? Okay, good for you, you're unique. I love that, good job. We don't learn the best when we're not having fun. And so I do think it's important that we have fun learning about Jesus, especially because I think Jesus was a fun-loving guy, you know? Sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, boring. But if we read the stories and like we understand what's happening, Jesus was a fun guy. He had fun with his disciples. Jesus was filled with joy. You think so? What do you think? Was Jesus boring? Was Jesus joyful? He was joyful, yeah. Okay, so I know it's the weekend. Oh, it's hard to math on the weekend. But what were the three things that are very important for you guys to know here in our kids ministry? What's number one?
Knowing God and the Bible.
Knowing Jesus and the Bible. That's such a big priority. Okay, what's number two? Do you remember? Okay, that was three, but good job. That's one of the three, so good. And then what's the one that hasn't been mentioned yet? What? The church thinks you're cool, and I think you're cool. And as I spend more time hanging out with you guys, I can't wait to find out. Yeah? What's up? Got your hand up? Got a question?
That Jesus loves us.
Yeah, Jesus loves you. That's one. I want you to walk out of these doors being like, yes, Jesus loves me. All right. So we're going to hang out in here for the rest of today because it's Family Sunday. But this is all I have to share with Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa. So not much more, okay? Just 2 pages. I know it's small print, but can you hang out for just this much? Yeah, you can. Trust me, read fast. All right, with that, go ahead and go back to your parents. Head back down. Let's look again at verse 13, Matthew 19, verse 13. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Now, consider the scene here. So Jesus was out traveling. He was an itinerant rabbi, and he wasn't the only one back in the day. In today's culture, we have, you know, bands that travel and go and put on different shows. But back then, the rock stars were really the rabbis. And the rabbis would travel from place to place, and they would have their disciples with them. And so Jesus wasn't the only one like this. And so when we look at Jesus' disciples, we do know that all of them, except for one, were teenagers. A later passage says that only one was old enough to pay the temple tax. So Jesus was a youth pastor as he travels around with all of his teenagers. So the scene that we have here is all of these parents are trying to bring their kids to Jesus, and we have some overzealous and overprotective teenagers just trying to respect their rabbi. So I understand what they were doing. I even kind of appreciate what they were doing. You know, and maybe even in that scene we had some parents who were a little pushy and demanding and expecting their kids to get the way. Never mind. Okay. And so all in all, I don't fault the disciples for what was happening here. Oftentimes we read stories and we just read it on a surface level and I'm like, the disciples, you messed up. But I kind of have their back in this situation. But despite their most likely really good intentions, Jesus corrected their actions. Verse 14. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Jesus wasn't just passively saying, "Oh yeah, let them come. Oh yeah, it's all right. Okay, a few can slip through." Jesus was saying, "Let them come. Don't stop them." And this was so revolutionary. You know, we know the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? But that was only 5,000 men. They didn't count women and children back then. That's how much society thought of them. So for Jesus to say, "Don't stop the kids. Let them all come to me." That was revolutionary. That wasn't done. So let's ask ourselves, how does this apply to us here at Trinity Covenant? What does this look like for us today as we care for our kids? And we have to ask ourselves some hard questions as we look at the well-intentioned disciples. Are there some ways that maybe we, even with the best of intentions, are taking shortcuts in our children's ministry? Are there ways that we're cutting corners and not giving kids our best? Are there ways that we can re-envision what we're doing here in the children's ministry and re-envision it through the eyes of a child, the one that we're doing our best to minister to? Not to create a children's ministry that works for adults, but one that we really envision how to reach kids. Whenever I go to different churches, and I love to just, you know, get tours and things like that, I always look for one thing when I go into the children's wing. Where are the posters? You see, if you go into a children's wing, you can tell if there's a really well-intentioned person who loves Jesus and who loves kids, but they could take the next step. Because if the poster is at my, and I'm short, okay, I'll admit it, on record, on the internet. I'm short, but if the poster is my eye level, who's the poster for? Is it for the adults or is it for the kids? You see, we need to create a children's ministry where we got posters that are low in every aspect of what we do. We need to create a ministry where we re-envision it through the eyes of the children so that they are given every opportunity to know that Jesus loves them, even if it's just seeing it on a poster that was moved 2 feet lower. And so as we reimagine children's ministry for Trinity Covenant Church, I invite you to come along with me and make this a team effort, a church-wide effort, so that every kid knows that Jesus loves them. Because this takes a team. Children's ministry takes a team, a big team. But for a church that is committed to bringing Jesus to children, we'll have a team. And I firmly believe that one of the healthiest things that spiritually healthy people can do is to pass on their faith to the next generation. Not to pass on your faith so that people look and believe exactly like you do. Because I'll tell you what, kids and teenagers in 2023, they're a whole lot different than even back when I was a kid and teenager back in the... Okay, and so we need to create a children's ministry where they are falling in love with Jesus and not our personal faith. Because healthy people pass on a healthy faith in healthy ways, creating spiritually healthy members of the next generation. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." And you see, the more meaningful relationships that students and children have, the more likely they are to stay in church once they graduate and get out on their own. Statistics say that if somebody has 5 long-term healthy relationships with adults outside of the pastor, I don't count, 5 meaningful relationships, they are like several times more likely to stay in church once they get out on their own. Will you please be one of that 5 to several students here, several children here? Just your involvement with them can impact a legacy, a family line of people. Let's catch that vision. We're all together. We cannot just change one student's life, not just one child's family's life, but their children and their children's children. Isn't that powerful? We have that opportunity. So yes, I want people here reimagining children's ministry with me and pursuing children and pursuing a healthy future for these children. Second of all, parents, I want you to know that we support you. We love you. You are the primary spiritual influence on your child's life. I'm going to be looking for ways to equip you to get resources into your hands so that you can continue to disciple your student on a week-to-week basis and even continue the conversation that we have from our rooms over there. You are the primary spiritual influence. We want to support you and we want to help you. But I would also ask you, hey, why don't you come along and be one of our leaders? How powerful is it for a child to be taught by their parents about Jesus? How powerful is it for a child to be taught by their parents and to see their parents teaching that child and their peers about Jesus? And I know there's been some of you who were plugged in for a season but have had to step out for a season. If you'd be interested in stepping back in, let's talk. I would love to help empower you to be that spiritual influence, not just in your child's life, but in the life of that classroom. In the meantime, we do have some needs in children's ministry, and most of them are kind of right now at the 9 to 9:45 hour. So if you would like to help re-envision children's ministry for that time period, please come talk to me. I have some great ideas. I have lots of ideas, but I do need some people to come around. I'm also really looking for a Sunday school superintendent type personality to help capture some of this vision. So those are some needs we have as we look towards reimagining and recreating, and even, well, building off of a healthy foundation that has been set. I am excited for what the future holds for this church. I'm excited for what the future holds for children's ministry here at this church. There's a reason why I left the area of Mission Springs and Frontier Ranch and came out to the land of Pilgrim Pines and Camp Squanto from one coast to the next. So I'm excited to be here, but I invite you to come along with me in the process. Be a part of the process. Be a part of this vision of each child knowing that Jesus loves them and that their church loves them. So that when they leave here, they will know for certain stories from the Bible and how to have a relationship with Jesus, to know their church was loved, or loved them. And three, church can be fun when it's designed for kids. Will you pray with me? Father God, once again, we just pray over our children. We pray for the kids that are currently in nursery right now, Father God, and our nursery workers that right now are ministering to kids and children, Father God. May this just be a place where so many children come to know you and that they grow up knowing you and loving you and passing on their faith to the next generation. May this be a church that just loves their children well. In Jesus' name, amen.